All right, so today we're diving into some pretty intense stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The future of Israel as envisioned by the prophet Ezekiel, specifically chapters 38 and 39.
Right.
And we're going to be working from a lecture by Dr. Leslie Allen, who's like, an Ezekiel expert.
Sure.
He calls the section Israel Security Put to the Test. And it's this fascinating look at how the prophet kind of tackled the anxieties of the Israelites living in exile.
I see, yeah.
Anxieties that probably feel, pretty relatable even today.
Right, definitely.
Imagine if you were an Israelite in exile, right? You're like longing to go back home, but you're terrified of history repeating itself. Are we going to be safe? Are we going to face another invasion?
Yeah, big questions.
Exactly. And Ezekiel dives right into these fears,
Yeah.
painting this like vivid, almost apocalyptic picture.
He does, he really
It's
does.
like he's saying, okay, here's the worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
A true test of your security. Let's see how God handles it.
Yeah.
And speaking of security, that word pops up constantly in these
Oh,
chapters.
yeah.
Yeah, almost like a drumbeat
Interesting.
emphasizing just how crucial it is to the whole message.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Dr. Allen points out that Ezekiel is very deliberately connecting back to the promises of security
Ooh.
God made earlier in the book, especially in chapter 34.
I see.
It's like he's reassuring his audience,
Right.
saying, hold on to those promises, everyone, because they still stand, even if this like terrifying enemy shows up on your doorstep.
Right, like Dory, I got you.
Exactly. And show up. And he does enter Gog, the enemy from the north,
Okay.
chief prince of Meshech and Tubal.
Oh, right.
And this isn't just some, small-time raider.
Right.
Ezekiel goes all out,
Yeah.
is grabbing Gog's massive
Oh,
army with
wow.
allies from Persia, Ethiopia.
Really?
It reads like a who's who of ancient empires set to team up and just like cause
Like
chaos.
all the bad guys getting together?
Exactly.
Yikes.
It's like Ezekiel is pulling together all these historical figures and threats that haunted Israel's past, creating this sense of like a recurring nightmare,
Oh,
a
wow.
threat bigger than they could possibly handle on their own.
Right.
But there's this like crucial detail right from the start that Dr. Allen emphasizes.
Okay, what's that?
Gog is explicitly labeled as God's enemy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So that's like a little glimmer of hope right there, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, yeah.
Even though this enemy seems unbeatable, we already know he's on the wrong side of, the cosmic scoreboard.
Yeah, he's gonna lose.
Exactly.
But what I find interesting
Yeah.
is that Gog isn't just like a mindless force of destruction.
Right.
Ezekiel uses this phrase evil scheme,
Okay.
suggesting that Gog has like ulterior motives, maybe even aiming to challenge God's authority itself.
Oh, so it's like even bigger than we thought.
It is. It adds a whole other layer of tension to the conflict.
So it's not just, some land grab.
No, it's bigger than that.
It's almost like God is saying, I'm coming for you, God.
Yeah, like, watch out.
But hold on a second. If God is in control,
Yeah.
why even allow this whole, like, scary invasion to happen in the first place?
Right, why put Israel through that?
Why put Israel through that test?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's where Dr. Allen brings in a really fascinating parallel.
Okay.
With Isaiah chapter 10, he explains that God often uses foreign powers
Yeah.
as instruments of judgment,
Interesting.
allowing them to act for his purposes,
Right.
but then holding them accountable for their excesses.
So they're not off the hook.
They're not off the hook.
That makes sense.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
They get to play a role in God's plan,
Okay.
but they will face the consequences if they go too far.
Makes sense.
Like a subcontractor that doesn't follow the blueprint,
Right, yeah.
What other examples are there of this in history besides, the Assyrians you mentioned before?
Well, you could even look at the Babylonian exile itself, right?
Oh, yeah.
God allowed the Babylonians to conquer Jerusalem
Right.
and take the Israelites captive as a punishment for their unfaithfulness.
Sure.
But the Babylonians didn't get off scot-free either.
Right.
They eventually faced their own downfall.
Okay.
So it's this recurring pattern
Yeah.
in the Bible.
Yeah.
Empires rise and fall, often serving as instruments of God's justice.
It's a pretty complex way of looking at history.
I know, right?
So, in Ezekiel's vision, is God's invasion just about punishing Israel, or is there like something more going on?
Well, Dr. Allen suggests that the Gog invasion is also a test of the security God promised to Israel.
Oh,
So
interesting.
it's not just about punishing them,
Right.
it's about proving the strength of those promises,
Okay.
showing that they hold up even when everything seems lost.
So it's like a divine demonstration. Like, I told you I'd protect you, and now I'm going to prove it.
Exactly, and in the most dramatic way
Oh,
possible.
wow.
And this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Allen argues that God's own holiness is on the line here.
Okay, hold on a second. Holiness.
Yeah.
Could you, like, unpack that a minute?
Sure, sure.
What does that even mean in this context?
So, in the Bible, holiness is often connected to God's power and purity.
Okay.
His being set apart and different from anything else.
Okay.
So his reputation as a powerful protector is being challenged.
I see.
If he can't protect his chosen people from this massive threat,
right,
what does that say about his ability to keep his promises?
Right. So the stakes are insanely high, not just for Israel, but for God himself.
Exactly.
It's like this invasion is like a cosmic court case
with
God's reputation on trial.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And how does this trial play out?
Well, Ezekiel goes all out with the, like, special effects here.
Oh, really?
We're talking earthquakes, plagues, fire raining from the sky.
Wow.
It's the full apocalyptic package.
Wow.
Meant to showcase God's unstoppable power.
It's like Michael Bay directed this chapter.
Right.
But there's also this, like, darkly comedic detail that Dr. Allen points out.
What's that?
After God is finished with Gog and his army,
yeah,
all their weapons end up being repurposed as firewood by the Israelites.
Oh, wow.
It's like God is saying, see all your fancy swords, nerds?
Yeah.
I can turn your tools of destruction into something as mundane as kindling.
It's like, what?
It's this powerful image, right?
Yeah, it is.
And it connects back to this even older tradition.
Oh, really?
The songs, specifically Psalm 46.
Okay.
One of the songs of Zion that celebrated God's protection of Jerusalem.
Ah, so Ezekiel is drawing on these ancient hymns of trust and security,
right,
reminding the exiles that God has a track record of coming through for his people, even when things look really bleak.
Precisely.
All right.
It's like this beautiful example of how the biblical authors are weaving together different strands of scripture to create this richer, more layered tapestry of meaning.
Right. They're building on each other.
Exactly. And this idea of reclaiming the Zion tradition, believing in God's, like, unwavering presence and protection.
Yeah.
It must have been incredibly comforting for the exiles.
It must have been.
Who had just lost their homeland.
Right.
And were facing this, like, pretty uncertain future.
Definitely.
Hold on. What exactly is this, like, Zion tradition?
Oh, good question.
Fill me in, because I'm not sure I'm, like, totally following.
You're right. I should have explained that better.
Yeah.
The Zion tradition refers to a set of beliefs and ideas centered around Mount Zion in Jerusalem, the place where God's temple stood.
Right.
So it's all about God's special relationship with Jerusalem and his promise to protect it, making it a symbol of security and hope for the Israelites.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, good.
So Ezekiel is essentially tapping into this, like, deep well of tradition,
right,
reminding his people that even though they're in exile, God hasn't abandoned them.
Right.
And his promise of security still stands.
Absolutely.
And he's doing it through this incredibly vivid, almost cinematic story, right?
It is.
Filled with action and drama.
Yeah.
And even a bit of dark humor.
I know. It's kind of wild, isn't it?
So we've got this epic battle, God's power on full display, and a reaffirmation of his promises.
Right.
But Dr. Allen doesn't stop there.
Oh.
He goes on to offer this broader theological summary in the closing verses of chapter 39.
Right, right.
What's going on there?
Well, he highlights this, like, shift in language in those closing verses.
Yeah.
With new vocabulary, like God hiding his face and compassion for Israel being introduced.
Mm, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Does Dr. Allen think those verses were, like, added later?
It's definitely a possibility.
Like, maybe someone came along and wanted to soften the message a bit.
Yeah, he points out that these additions, if that's what they are, don't contradict the earlier parts of the text.
Right.
They just, like, add another layer of meaning, emphasizing God's mercy and forgiveness alongside his power and justice.
It's like the text itself is evolving, reflecting different theological perspectives across time.
It is. Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
But there's one detail from chapter 39 that really struck me.
Okay, what's up?
The idea that Israel will bear their shame rather than forgetting it.
Mm.
Why highlight that?
Yeah.
Especially after God has just rescued them so dramatically.
Good question.
That's a crucial point. And Dr. Allen spends some time unpacking it.
He does, he does.
He emphasizes that remembering past mistakes is essential for appreciating God's grace and avoiding repeating those mistakes in the future.
Right. So it's not about dwelling on the negative.
Exactly.
But about learning from it.
Exactly.
Moving forward with a deeper understanding of God's character and our own need for his grace.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's about taking responsibility for our actions and, you know, acknowledging that even when we mess up God's grace, is bigger than our mistakes.
Yeah, it's a powerful message, especially for people who are like trying to rebuild their lives after a period of exile, literally or metaphorically.
Yeah.
You know, this whole theme of security, trusting in God's protection, even when everything seems chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's so relatable, even thousands of years later.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't feel anxious sometimes? We all face challenges and uncertainties in life.
Absolutely. And that's like what makes Ezekiel's message so enduringly relevant, you know?
Yeah.
He's speaking to that fundamental human need,
mm-hmm.
the need to feel safe and secure, especially when the world around us feels unstable.
Yeah. And Dr. Allen even draws a parallel between Ezekiel's vision and the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8,
yeah,
where Paul assures believers that like nothing can separate them from God's love.
Powerful stuff.
It's like this ancient message of hope is echoed across centuries, reaching out to us even today.
And that echo continues to resonate, you know, especially now,
yeah,
in a world just overflowing with anxieties and threats.
Right.
I think finding security in something larger than ourselves,
yeah,
a higher power, a loving community, a set of values, it just holds incredible power.
So how can we bring Ezekiel's message into the 21st century?
That's the question.
What might it say to this about facing our own anxieties and challenges?
Well, it's fascinating. Ezekiel doesn't offer some simplistic solution. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't just say, just believe and everything will be perfect.
Right.
Instead, he acknowledges the very real threats
mm-hmm.
that his audience faced, right?
Yeah.
And paints this picture of God's power and faithfulness prevailing over those threats.
So it's not about denying the reality of suffering or danger, right?
It's not.
It's more like, yes, bad things happen, but even in the midst of those bad things, God is still present.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in control and will ultimately vindicate his people.
Exactly. That message resonates just as strongly today as it did for those exiled Israelites.
Yeah.
We all encounter our own, like, Gog moments, right?
Right.
Those times when everything seems to be falling apart.
Yeah.
And fear and anxiety just threaten to consume us.
How do we apply Ezekiel's vision to our own lives?
Good question.
What does it look like to, like, trust in God's security in a practical sense?
Right.
It can't just be about, like, sitting back and passively waiting for a miracle.
You're right. It's not about passive waiting.
Yeah.
It's about actively engaging with our faith.
Okay.
Seeking God's guidance and drawing strength from his promises, even when we don't fully understand, you know, what he's doing or why things are happening the way they are.
It's about remembering those songs of Zion, you know?
Right.
Those stories of God's faithfulness in the past, allowing those stories to shape our present and our future.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any examples of, like, songs of Zion that speak to you?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Maybe stories or experiences that remind you of God's faithfulness in your own life?
You know, for me, it's often less about specific grand events and more about, like, the everyday moments where I just sense God's presence.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a moment of peace amidst chaos, an unexpected act of kindness from a stranger,
mm-hmm.
or even just the beauty of nature, you know?
Yeah.
Just little things that remind me there's something bigger at work than my own worries.
Yeah.
So these little songs, they help me remember that God is present and active.
Right.
Even when I can't see the whole picture.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Thank you.
And those little songs can really add up, can't they?
I think they can.
They help us build that trust, that foundation of security, even when the big, scary gogs of life come knocking.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes Ezekiel's imagery can be pretty intense.
Right? For sure.
I mean, he doesn't shy away from the gruesome details, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Birds feasting on corpses, mountains of weapons, the whole nine yards.
It's not your typical Sunday school lesson.
Definitely not. Some people might find that disturbing or even off-putting, you know.
It's definitely not for the faint of heart.
But Dr. Allen points out that this vivid, almost cinematic language,
yeah,
it's meant to evoke a strong emotional response.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's brilliant, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just a dry theological treatise. It's a story meant to, like, grab you by the collar and shake you awake, you know?
Yeah.
And remember, Ezekiel was speaking to people who had experienced profound loss and trauma.
Right.
They needed a message that would cut through the numbness and despair.
Mm-hmm.
Something that would, like, shake them out of their complacency.
Yeah.
And remind them that God was still a powerful force in the world.
It's like he's saying, wake up, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
God is doing something incredible here, even if it looks messy and chaotic right now.
Exactly. It's a reminder that faith isn't always neat and tidy.
Yeah.
It could be messy, chaotic, even terrifying at times.
Right.
But through it all, God's presence remains constant.
Mm-hmm.
a beacon of hope in the darkness.
Yeah.
And that hope isn't just about escaping suffering or hardship.
Right.
It's about finding meaning and purpose in the midst of those challenges, knowing that God is using even the most difficult experiences to shape us and refine us.
It's about trusting that even when we can't see the bigger picture, God is weaving together a story that is ultimately good and beautiful.
And that's a message that can speak to anyone, regardless of their background or beliefs, I think.
Absolutely. It's a universal message of hope and resilience.
Yes.
That transcends cultural and religious boundaries.
It really does.
So what does this mean for us, the deep divers who are listening in today?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, I think Ezekiel's message challenges us to consider how we find security in our own lives.
Yeah.
Where do we place our trust when things get tough?
Do we turn inward, relying solely on our own strength and resources? Or do we reach out seeking support from something larger than ourselves?
And if we do choose to place our trust in God, what does that look like in practice? How does that trust shape our decisions, our relationships, our outlook on the world?
These are big questions, and there's like no one-size-fits-all answer.
That's true.
But maybe that's part of the point, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe Ezekiel isn't giving us all the answers.
Right.
But he's giving us the right questions to ask.
I think you're right. He's giving us a framework for understanding how God works in the world, how he interacts with his people, and how we can find security and hope, even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty.
And that's a pretty valuable gift, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's a gift that can change our lives if we're open to receiving it.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's kind of what makes this deep dive into Ezekiel so fascinating.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like ancient history or abstract theology.
Right.
It's about wrestling with questions that are still so relevant today.
Absolutely.
Questions about faith and trust and what it means to like find security
yeah.
in a world that often feels anything but secure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Ezekiel's vision, with all its like vivid imagery and these challenging ideas, It invites us to grapple with those big questions in a way that like few other texts do.
Right.
It's not about giving us like easy answers or simplistic solutions, right?
No.
It's about pushing us to think deeply about our own relationship with God, with ourselves, with the world around us.
So as we wrap up our exploration of Israel's security put to the test,
okay,
what are some key takeaways that our listeners can like carry with them?
That's a good question.
What threads can we pull from this like ancient tapestry and weave into our own lives?
Well, for me, one of the most powerful takeaways is just this reminder that even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, there's a God who is bigger than our fears, a God who's worthy of our trust.
Absolutely.
It's not about like ignoring the real threats and challenges we face, right?
Right.
But it's about finding a source of strength and security that transcends those circumstances.
Yeah. And that trust, that faith, it can be a source of like incredible resilience, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Enabling us to face the future with courage and hope, even when we can't see what lies ahead.
Right. We don't have to have all the answers.
Exactly.
Or know exactly how things will play out.
Yeah, we can lean into that trust and find a sense of peace, even in the midst of the storm.
Absolutely. And that's where those songs of Zion become so important, you know?
Yes.
Those personal stories and experiences that remind us of God's faithfulness in the past. They help us anchor our hope.
Right.
To remember that we're not alone in this journey and that God has a track record of bringing good out of even the most difficult situations.
It's like building up a like mental and emotional muscle memory.
Oh, I like that.
Of God's faithfulness so that when the storms hit, and they inevitably will, we can draw on that strength.
Yes.
And find our footing again.
Yeah, yeah.
So as we surface from this deep dive into Ezekiel's prophetic vision, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought.
Okay.
Something to like ponder as they go about their week.
Right.
What would it look like to live securely in a world that often feels anything but secure?
That's a good question. What are your songs of Zion, you know?
Right.
Those stories of hope and resilience that can anchor you in times of trouble. Mm-hmm. And how can you cultivate a deeper sense of trust in God's presence and protection?
Right.
Even when you can't see the way forward.
Yeah, these are questions worth wrestling with.
They are.
Questions that can lead us to a deeper understanding of ourselves, our faith, our place in like the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, just maybe, by embracing Ezekiel's message, by cultivating that deep sense of trust and security in God's presence, we might just find ourselves writing our own songs of Zion.
That's beautiful.
Sharing our own stories of resilience and hope with the world.
I love that.
Until next time, keep diving deep, friends.